This episode is brought to you by the Slash and Cast Podcast Network. Learn more at slashandcast.net.
Whiskey Zulu Bravo, this is Summit Control. Everybody, good overdrive, still alive, for everything unavailable. We'll pass you to a submarine controlling officer this time, over.
I'd like to take this opportunity to thank the sponsor of this episode, Raise Energy. Raise offers a zero sugar, no crash guaranteed product with many different flavors. They're not promising magic in a can or a miracle potion, and they're retailing for under $30 per case, while the big name brands are charging upwards of $35 or even more per case. If you're interested in trying out their product and giving us a little bit of that kickback from your purchase, use the link in the episode description and use our code, capital letters here, WCFBTS, for a 15% off discount at your checkout. Once again, that is WCFBTS for a 15% off at checkout. Thank you, Raise Energy, for sponsoring this episode and the continued support of our show, and I hope you listeners indulge yourself and get yourself a nice, clean energy drink.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of We Came From Beneath the Sea. As always, I'm your host, Bailey.
And I'm Zach.
And I'm Brandon.
We back, baby. You know what time it is.
Yeah.
All right, partner.
Keep on rolling.
Keep baby. On rolling. All right, so yeah, we took a week off. I don't remember why, but we did.
Busy.
Busy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's I slept until about 11 o'clock this morning, so I don't have any news other than I'm still mad Halloween Kills is going to Peacock.
Like,
you're just going to have to get over it.
I know, man. I don't have any control over it, but I'm still angry.
Like, I had a house issue, and then Zach immediately had a house issue.
And I'm so, over here vibing.
There was just no way we could record.
Yeah, there was no way.
Did you ever get that fixed?
Yeah, it's...
You got hot water again?
Yeah, it's...
No, I'm gonna fuck on fire.
Yeah, what? It just fucking blew up the whole back end of our house, as you saw when you came in.
Yeah, right. Okay, so, off topic. It was 2 weeks ago, I think, a meth house exploded down the road.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, it blew up so bad you can see through the house.
Praise hell, praise Dale, bro.
But nah, dude, like my girlfriend was telling me about it. She's like, yeah, a meth house exploded. I was like, where? She goes, you know where.
You know
where. I'm like,
you know, it's smart as
and well. Now they're like looking into it because people think it's like sabotage or whatever.
Oh, shit.
Because Jenna's brother, I guess, has friends in the neighborhood still. And I guess they were telling him, like, yeah, there's this guy who's... He's literally trying to, like...
Bob gave me the wrong ingredients.
No, he's literally trying to, like, take over the fucking meth business here. And I'm like, why?
What? Jim Bob gave me the wrong ingredients.
Instead of making meth, how about you fucking eradicate it so these people stop fucking stealing bikes and knocking on windows at 3 in the morning?
Bikes!
Bikes!
Jim Bob gave me the wrong ingredients. He sabotaged me. I blew up my house.
Jesus fucking Christ.
I can't... I can do it.
My skin's melted off.
But nah, yeah, that's all the exciting stuff in my life that's happened in the last week and
Listen,
a half, 2 weeks.
Listen, they sure were playing Payday 2 when they failed the meth mission.
Assault in progress.
Yeah, I can't think of, like, really any news besides, like,
13 days until Halloween Kills comes out as
like
of...
David Arquette, like, teased some, like, Scream 5... pictures on Twitter.
I missed that. When the fuck was that, bro?
It was like the Scream House or whatever.
Oh no, that's an Airbnb thing. Yeah. You can rent out.
Well, there's that too.
You can rent out the house, Stu's house from Scream, and stay there, and you can watch Scream on VHS with David Arquette.
There you go.
And it's extremely limited. I looked up the pricing. It's $5 a night, but it's extremely fucking limited.
Hmm. Yeah. I imagine that shit's overbooked by now.
It's not. When I looked, it wasn't even available. I think it's available the 5th to start booking.
Oh. When the 5th comes,
Like, Horror Vans. Vans shoes.
Yeah.
Where they finally released their Horror Vans.
Yeah.
Oh my God, a cop a pair, bro. They have these really nice slip-on Friday the 13th.
Riley said he bought six pairs of shoes. He bought 16 pairs of shoes.
I believe that's what he said.
I thought it was six.
I it may be.
It's on the Slash and Cast.
The tweet I read said 16.
Six or 16. That's still a lot of fucking shoes to buy at one time.
That's a lot of shoes.
That's a lot of money.
That is. Because
Vans is kind of expensive.
Yeah.
Especially.
Oh, it was six. I thought he said 16.
So, like, regardless, I mean, that's like. Like
they were like, I don't remember how much they were a pair.
He had to pay like at least $500, $600 for all that shit.
Look, I'm gonna look because
what did he do? Buy all the different
kinds? There's like six or seven.
Kinds. All of them looked good. Yeah, like the ones I wanted, these slip-ons, they're $65 and they're not bad looking.
Okay. No, they're not bad.
Yeah, like the
but they have slips like the flip-flops.
The red and green striped Nightmare high tops look really cool.
These shining ones are $75. They're high tops. Look,
Jesus.
I don't like high tops, but I'd wear those.
Jesus.
Yeah, high tops, I've kind of like, I don't know, like I prefer low tops.
They have two pairs of It shoes. I know that much. They have shining Nightmare on Elm Street high tops for
$80.
Kirby
out here copping the It shoes.
Yeah, right.
Probably.
I bet he did too. They got Gremlins high tops and low tops.
You tell me they got Gremlins, bro.
Gremlins slip-ons.
Tell me they got brain damage, bro. They gotta. they gotta have it.
All right, I'm out
it's
here.
An iconic movie. They gotta have
brain damage.
We're
bro.
Only 4 minutes and 50 seconds into this episode. We got a brain damage reference.
They gotta fucking have it. If they don't have it, I'm boycotting Vans for the rest of my life.
Bro, aren't you wearing Vans?
They gotta say,
no, these
hello,
are
Brian.
Oh, don't you have Vans?
Or
are those the ones you returned?
And Almer has to be on them.
So my other pair is Vans, but they're all, like, worn down. I had been wearing them for, like, a year and a half.
Uh-oh.
And then I bought a pair of, like, slip-on Vans, but they were too tight.
I've never wore a pair of Vans in my life.
The Vans got to have Almer's, like, beady little eyes on it, too.
Just googly eyes, though.
I was going to say, that, I mean, they could just print, like, the fellatio scene on there, but nah.
Nah, bro, it's Elmer, but just the googly eyes, so every time you take a step.
Yeah, they're fucking.
Yeah. Dude, but, that would be, it, like, glows in the dark, too.
Yes, that's what we need.
Hello, Brian.
Hello, Brian.
Yeah, every time you step, it's hello, Brian.
Nah, it's like those light-up shoes, but you stomp. And there's like
hello, Brian.
Or it's that scene where he's singing in the sink.
If they don't have brain damage or terror vision, I ain't fucking buying it.
Their shoes are real flexible left and right, so every time you take a step, it looks like Elmer's fucking wiggling back and forth.
When you take them off, like the Elmer puppet like pops out.
What the fuck, dude?
That's what we need,
best shoes in the world.
Yep.
All right.
Take your entire stock.
Yeah.
And I got one more thing. I mean, it's Tenacious D's kind. He's not horror, but it's they have their show. I guess
Tenacious
D elements.
Is always welcome on this podcast.
They released an EP with like their demos.
I haven't listened to it.
Oh
yet.
My God, bro! The tribute in the history demo. I can't stop listening, bro.
Heard it's fucking banger.
It slaps, dude.
Huh?
It's so good. And then they did an interview, and they were like, the interviewer asked, hey, so what's the greatest song in the world that you guys are referencing in tribute? And I guess Jack Black looked over at Kyle Gass and goes, you want to tell him? And he goes, it's tribute. That's the song, the greatest song in the world. They didn't forget it, bro.
It's
been in our faces the whole time.
Beautiful. Wow. All
right, we can move on now.
Beautiful.
But nah. When we're in the car going to see Venom 2, we got to listen to the fucking tribute EP, bro.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
You're not Tenacious D's, fan, my friend?
Tenacious D's fine. I like Pick of Destiny. I just don't really like
me and Zagger, fuck it.
I just don't
staring
really
daggers, bro.
I don't know. I just don't really care for acoustic music.
Acoustic.
You going to kill him or am I?
Acoustic.
Acoustic.
listing available now. We need a third host for this podcast.
Yep, see
today.
You, Bailey.
I hate it here.
All right.
I started this company.
Dig him up. Okay, we're talking about a good one today, folks.
Night of the Comet.
Close.
Night of the Creeps.
Night of the Demons.
Close.
Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah, we're talking about Night of the Creeps.
Damn.
Came out in 1986, to be exact, August 22nd, 1986, so it's 35 years old.
It's 5 years from 40.
Yep.
Quick maths.
And it's written and directed by Fred Decker and...
Fred Dickhead.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and let's talk about some of this fucking cast, because it's a pretty good cast, mainly because of one dude.
Yeah, we got Tom Selleck's mustache.
No. Here, let me explain. Okay, so we got Tom Atkins in probably his best role ever,
and
as
his
Ray
and
Cameron.
His sidekick, his mustache.
Yes, as Detective Ray Cameron, and gotta say, I mean, you guys saw some of it, like Zach seen some of it. He didn't get to watch it all, but you know, he's here in spirit.
Yep.
But yeah, like. Tom Atkins' acting kind of carries this movie because, like, everybody else's is so-so. Like, it's campy.
You have, like, these young 20-something actors that are doing their best. We got Tom Atkins, just another fucking Wednesday over here.
It's effortless for Tom.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, Jason Lively and Jill Whitlow, who are, like, the two.
Jason Lively. Didn't he go on to do, like, really big shit?
He's in European Vacation.
Yeah, he's a son, right?
National Lampoon's.
Yeah. I knew that name was familiar.
That's the only other movie I know him from. Jill Whitlow didn't do too much. So Jason Lively plays Chris, and Jill Whitlow plays Cynthia, and then you got Steve Marshall as JC, which he was really cool. That's mainly like the real like notable cast.
Yeah, everyone else is kind of...
Yeah, it's just them four. Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess I can say Alan Kazer because he plays the Bradster, which he's like the douchebag of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so yeah, like that's the cast. Let me find some trivia real quick.
So before you get the trivia, the best way I can describe this movie for people who haven't seen it, and if you haven't seen it, please turn this episode off after I say this. Go watch the movie and then come back.
Yeah.
It's like Animal House meets like, trying to think of like an action movie. It's like Animal House meets an apocalypse situation.
It's like Animal House meets They Live.
Yeah.
Yep, pretty much.
Thank you.
All right. So all of the last names of the main characters are based on famous horror and sci-fi directors. So you got George A. Romero, which is Chris Romero in this movie. Mm-hmm. John Carpenter and Toby Hooper, which is J.C. Hooper. David Cronenberg, Cynthia Cronenberg, James Cameron, Detective Ray Cameron, John Landis, Detective Landis.
What did Cameron do up until this point? Aliens had already come out, right?
Terminator.
He did Terminator.
When did
Terminator
Aliens
then Aliens came out the same year as this.
Ah, gotcha.
Sam Raimi as Sergeant Raimi and Steve Miner as the janitor. His name was Screaming Like Banshees, you know? The graffiti on the wall in the men's room where JC is trying to escape the number of slugs read "Go Monster Squad." The Monster Squad was released a year later.
I believe the day they shot that. I think it's in Search of Darkness, the first one. I believe the story is the day they shot that scene, Monster Squad got approved by the studio.
Yeah, which Fred, I don't think I've mentioned. Like Fred Decker directed Monster Squad as well. This is Tom Atkins' favorite movie, which is. Not a surprise.
That's wild.
Because, you know.
It's not My Bloody Valentine 3D, bro?
No. he's probably, like, the best part of that movie, to be honest.
Everybody stand down, goddammit!
Well, I mean, like, some of the kills are okay, but the CGI looks fucking awful in that movie.
You do look like a shit.
It is. I still like that movie a lot,
like,
though.
It's a fine remake. I'm not, like.
It's one of the better ones.
I'll say that. Yeah, like, I'll say, you know. I wouldn't say it's like the one of the best remakes, but it's fine.
It's for the era of like the 2009 to 2010s, early 2010s remakes.
At least it tries to be interesting. Like I think the twist at the end is actually pretty good. I'm not gonna lie.
The movie
it was him the whole time.
The movie the house mother is watching on TV is Plan 9 from Outer Space from 1957.
I've heard of that movie.
According to director Fred Decker, the prominent Striper Rules graffiti visible in the bathroom scene appeared to due to makeup artist Kevin or Kyle Sweet's relationship with future husband Striper frontman Michael Sweet. I don't know what the fuck.
Isn't Striper a Christian band?
I don't know. Maybe.
I'm gonna look that
up. I don't
up.
Know what Striper is.
I think it was a Christian hair metal band.
Corman University is a reference to director, producer Roger Corman.
Hell yeah.
So
yeah, Striper is an American Christian metal band from Orange County, California.
Blood, look, tits, and ass.
Look at these guys. They were metal. Hair metal.
Yep.
Yep.
A fair share of the film was shot in an old Woolworth's department store that was converted into a makeshift studio.
Woolworth's, huh?
Wow.
Yep.
That's a name I haven't heard in a millennia. They've been out of business for a long time.
Yep. In an interview on the Blu-ray, Tom Atkins enthusiastically stated that all of his films he starred in, this is his personal favorite, which I just said, in a horror's Hallowed Grounds feature on the Just Desserts documentary, he stated that director Fred Decker is one of the few that he'd still love to work with, which
that's
Fred. I believe I saw, like, the last thing that Fred Decker worked on was the latest Predator movie. I think he was a executive producer or something like that.
Oh, speaking of Horace Hollowed Grounds, the shout out to another show on our network, The Thing with Two Heads, run by Sean Clark and Christopher Nelson.
Oh, yeah.
That was Sean's YouTube show for years. I don't know if he still does it, but he used to do it. Horror's Hollowed Grounds. He would go around to, like, places that horror movies were filmed. Sean Clark's in our network. I don't know if you guys knew that.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty
cool. And the guy that does makeup for Halloween. Christopher Nelson's his co-host.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Tom Atkins came up with the idea to have Detective Ray Cameron stop and smell a rose in one particular scene. Director Fred Decker originally wanted to shoot the film in black and white, which that would have been fucking awesome.
Well, like, yeah, the first the opening 20 minutes?
No, like the opening, like, 10 minutes is, like, black and white, which is pretty cool.
It threw me off guard at first. I'm like, did I rent the right movie?
It takes place in, like the first, like, 10 minutes takes place in 1959, so they just wanted to, like, film it in black and white to make
which
it
makes
nostalgic
sense.
And whatnot.
I liked it.
Yeah. Oh. That's smart.
Smart.
Yeah. The college football team, the Bulldogs, was named in tribute of writer-director Fred Decker's high school football team. The characters of Chris and JC were also featured in an early short film made by writer-director Fred Decker. The Corman Clarion newspaper, along with the university name, is referenced to Roger Corman. Greg Nicotero and Howard Berger play zombie extras. That's pretty cool. Has the same dead guys do not get up and walk away by themselves line followed by a shot of a dead guy walking down a street as the Monster Squad in 1987, which in the Monster Squad, it was the Mummy. He was walking after they said that line. Jason Lively auditioned for the role of JC, but he got the role of Chris instead.
Hell yeah.
Detective Cameron says, "Thrill me 5 times. Chris says it once.
Thrill me.
Thrill me.
The script was written in a week.
Hell yeah.
So they did really good for just 1 week.
Yeah. You know what was also involved in this script writing?
Cocaine. What? Yeah, probably.
Cocaine.
I imagine lots of 80s scripts had a lot of cocaine.
Yeah, how else are you going to write a fucking script in a week,
yeah,
bro?
You know how some places just have like a bowl full of treats like M&M's or Skittles?
The booger
they just
sugar.
Have a, they just have a bowl full of cocaine, you know? They just, gotta
just dip your straw in and go to town.
Yeah. It's a self-serve cocaine bowl.
At Saturday Night Live in the 80s.
Hell yeah.
They used to stay up for like 72 hours straight in the fucking writer's room and just do cocaine the entire time.
Hell yeah.
So this one's kind of weird, but Leslie Ryan is the girl brushing her hair in the opening black and white sequence. Writer-director Fred Decker said he asked her out on a date, but she turned him down.
Oof. All right. We really needed that piece of trivia. Yep. Thank you, IMDb.
That's important.
I want y'all to know.
Okay. Phil's Diner has become something of a signature for Fred Decker and has been included somehow in all of his movies since.
All right.
Well, I guess that's enough trivia because the rest of them are kind of long shit taken from, like, documentaries and shit.
Right.
So, yeah. Night of the Creeps, baby!
We open up in space, and there's like these butt-ugly aliens running around, and they're naked, and they have butts.
Yeah, bro, they got to stay thick,
they
bro.
They got ass.
They double-cheeked up on a Thursday afternoon. The sun's still out.
One of them is running, and he has a canister in his hand, and the other two are chasing after him, and they got guns. They're shooting.
Stop that gun!
Yeah, they're shooting at him. And the one, he puts like the canister in like a pod and shoots it down to Earth.
Earth.
And yeah. And so the year is 1959.
Ooh.
And we see some buzz cut guy. I don't know if that's like the exact like term for that haircut.
I would roll with it.
It's like the flat top buzz cut.
The flat, cut. Flat top is I think the term.
He pulls up and he throws a rock at the window to try to get some girl to come down, and they go on like a date. They're like at like the lookout where you
I
know,
always
love
the idea where like you're seeing that scene and he's throwing it and he just throws one and shatters the glass.
Yeah. Also, fuck. Like I believe there's like a law now that like if you do that, you can get put on a list. If you like throw a rock,
where did you read that?
Window,
you like, get put on a list.
Yeah, like.
I need the proof for that after we record. That's
dude, you can get put on a list for a lot of things now. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah. Like if you go to the public library and check out Mein Kampf, you're going to be put on a list, bro.
Jesus Christ.
Well,
Bailey needs proof for everything. Somebody would tell Bailey not to eat cyanide, and he'd be
proof.
Like,
need
I don't,
proof.
I don't like agree
hey,
with this. But
I may
like,
be a dumb guy, but I know not to eat potassium cyanide.
I don't agree with this, but like,
are
there's.
You sure?
There's like somebody like in Florida, they got put on a list for pissing on a building.
Was it near a school?
No, I don't
was
think so.
Was it a school?
Perhaps.
Don't like, piss on schools.
Yeah, like I don't agree with like pissing on like random buildings.
You know that's why Boogie went to jail?
Hmm.
He didn't piss on a school. He shot a bullet into the air. He was like in a mile radius of a school. Some guy came like, they had internet beef or whatever, and he came to his house. And Boogie got a gun and shot into the air, and it just happened to be in the range of a school.
Uh-huh.
And the police picked him up for it.
Well, Boogie's Jeez. Kind of stupid.
He got new teeth, though.
Yep.
Anyways, yeah, enough about like the whole list talk. But anyways.
I see a shooting star, baby.
So, yeah, like they're at like the makeout lookout.
Lover's Lane.
Lover's Lane, you know, mountaintop where you take your girl, listen to the radio. Which there's also all kinds of like cool fucking songs in this opening scene, like "Put Your Head on My Shoulder,"
I like that
Paul
song.
Inca or whatever
my
his name
shoulder.
Is. Yeah, and like, there's a cop that pulls up and he sees that the girl is like his ex.
That's Ray Cameron, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. And
he's a little hurt about it
on the radio. Also, like they keep talking about it, an escaped lunatic, and
it's Ray Cameron.
Yeah, Ray Cameron, like, that's why he pulls up and he's like, y'all need to, like, go home. But he's also extremely offended that she's out with another guy.
You out here making out with this man!
But he's not, like, he didn't, like, go, like, crazy about it. He did later on.
He was hurt.
Yeah, he was sad.
You know he got back in his police cruiser and he's going,
Yep. And so, yeah, like, they see the shooting star and Buzzcut wants flat top, whatever. He wants to go fucking check it out. So they pull up to Road 66, and they're, you know, he goes in the woods. She's by herself, and the radio comes on. The escaped lunatic is on Road 66, police believe. And
oh, shit.
Yeah, so she starts to be all like, hey, you know, come back. I'll let you fondle my breast. And, you know, that's literally what she said. Yep. I'm not making that shit up. And, yeah, so, like, the psycho comes and fucking chops her up, basically.
Yeah.
And, yeah, and then he, like, Flat Top finds a canister and a slug pops out of that motherfucker and goes up in his mouth. And you could tell it's shot in reverse, too.
Yeah.
Because there's literally a
nah,
scene.
Nah, bro, that's practical. He ate that slug.
Yeah, he
there's,
straight up ate that shit.
There's literally a scene where you could see, like, the string attached to one of them.
Yeah.
Because you could tell, like, they just pull the strings and they, like, slither around and whatnot.
Yeah.
And... so, yeah, and then we cut to 1986 at a fucking huge college party.
That's
yeah.
a huge bitch.
And we meet Chris and JC, and, you know, Chris sees Cynthia Cronenberg from, like, a mile away, and is like, oh, my God, I think I'm in love. Damn.
He's like, that's my future wife right there.
Which I gotta say, Jill Whitlow is a pretty girl. Gotta say.
Yep.
You know? And fine so guy. JC, you know, JC's, I don't know, is he handicapped? Is that the correct thing to say?
He's just on those, Is it cerebral palsy? You're on those little arm crutches things? It's one of the palsies, I know that. I just don't know which.
Well, I don't know.
He's got crutches, let's just say that.
But it's the ones that cuff around your arm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like he can't walk without
his legs
them,
don't work real good.
Yeah, and so, you know, he figures, like, this whole movie, he's like, well, I'm never going to get laid, so I might as well help my friend get laid. So
that's a good friend.
That's a good friend.
And so he's the one who's all like, yeah, let's fucking, I'll go talk to her for you and shit. And so they go inside, like, this big ass frat house, and he goes over, and there's like some dude with a unibrow trying to like put the moves on Cynthia, but you can tell she don't want none.
She can't handle the brow.
And so so JC comes up and he's all like, "Hey, what's your name, bud?" And he goes, "Steve, bro,
Steve."
He's like, "Yeah, there's a phone call for you," and he like fucks off for a while, and he's like, "Oh, you know, hey, my name's JC, and you know, you see that guy over there? He likes you." And she's like, why didn't he tell me that?
Pussy, bro.
Yeah, basically. And so anyway, Steve comes back. He's like, bro, you fucking lied. There was no phone call for me, my dude. And he's like, oh, what was your name? Biff? Chad? And so, yeah, like, you know, JC meets back up with Chris and was all like, oh, yeah, you know.
It went well.
It went well, you know, yada, yada, yada. And they're all like, oh, well, we got to get into, like, a fucking frat now.
Yeah.
And so they go meet up with the betas, I think that's what they're called.
Yeah.
And they're all like, hey, you know, how do we get in this frat? And they're like, go steal a fucking corpse out of the morgue and put it in front of this other, you know, frat house. And they're like, shit, all right. I don't know why they'd fucking agree to it, but they're like, shit. Oh, and so it cuts over to them sneaking into, like, I assume, like, some kind of, like, medical facility on the college. I don't know. Maybe it could just be a morgue in general. I don't
probably
know.
Probably the, like, medical school.
Yeah. And there's, like, this, like, top secret room, and the scientist, he can't figure out the fucking password to get in, so he goes to make a phone call to figure it out. And JC and Chris just walk up in there and press zero and get in. I was like, what the fuck? I was like, how'd they know?
They're just good like that.
And so then they see, like, the body, it's flat top. He's in a cryogenic tube, frozen
tube.
And they let him out, and he starts moving around, and so they chicken shit, and they run off, and the scientist is all like, "Boo!"
Doesn't he grab one of them?
He grabs JC, and then JC screams, and then they take off, and then the scientist is like, what the fuck? So he goes in there, and the corpse strangles him.
Good Lord. Do you know what you've done?
Yeah.
And
so this is when we meet Ray Fisher, and it's actually a dream sequence. He's like sitting in some like white suit on the beach, and like a girl,
Ray
which
Fisher.
Is. Did I say Ray Fisher?
Yeah, you mean Ray Cameron?
Where did I get Ray Fisher?
I don't fucking know, bro.
Do I know a Ray Fisher? Or is there
I
like
am
a
looking
celebrity?
For Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
Yeah, so Ray Cameron, my bad. He's in a white spiffy suit on the beach, sitting down drinking out of a coconut.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah, bitch.
And then a girl, which is actually his love from fucking... What
the dead
it?
One.
30 years ago. She pops out of the water, and he's like, what the fuck? And then it's a dream. He wakes up. And he gets called in to like go check out the crime scene at the medical lab.
This is the first time I think he says, thrill me.
Yeah, because he answers the phone and says, thrill me. And then as soon as he gets to the crime scene, he's like busting all these cops' ass. He's like... I thought you said there was two fucking bodies, you fucking morons.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, there's a cop named Sergeant Ramey, and he tells him, he's like, do I have to play Poo Patrol with your nightstick or something? And I was like, ooh, I don't think you could say that today. So basically that other body, because the 1950s flat top guy, he's missing. He ends up at Cynthia's fucking... fraternity
mm-hmm.
house, and he scares the shit out of him and releases slugs from his head.
Hell yeah.
And so the cops get called over there. Ray Cameron's like, holy shit, it looks like the fucking axe murder that killed my fucking girlfriend back in the day. It looks similar, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He like asks like Detective Landis, he's like, hey, do you think, you know, because like Flat Top's got a huge split in his head. He's like, hey, do you think an axe could have done that? And Detective Landis is like, bro, you killed him.
Bro, yeah, you
you
shot
him and
man.
Buried his ass.
He did.
And so, yeah, anyways, that kind of, like, freaks everybody out. And we also find out that, like, before that happens, we also find out that Cynthia and Bradster, which is, like, the president of the Betas, they're dating. He's a huge douchebag.
Douchebag.
And so, yeah. Like, and then the next day at school, Brad confronts Chris and JC, and he's like, yo, you guys put that corpse out in front of the fraternity house, bro. I told you to put it somewhere else. You've really freaked my girlfriend out, bro. And he, like, trips up JC, you know, and JC's got his crutches, which was kind of fucked up.
That is pretty fucked up.
And then Cynthia, like, tells him to fuck off, which was pretty cool. I was like, hey, you know, I don't know why you're dating that guy in the first place, but all right. Yeah. You know, and so, yeah, and then later on that day, well, actually, Detective Landis pulls up, and he's like, oh, yeah, we have to question you guys. So they go in there, and the janitor, which is, his name is Mr. Miner, as a reference of Steve Miner, who directed Friday the 13th 2 and 3.
Yeah.
Steve.
Like, Ray Cameron was all like, oh, you know, this janitor caught you guys running out of the morgue screaming like banshees. Like, the entire time, like this is, like, the only line that janitor has. He's Asian, I'm not going to do the impression because that would get me in trouble. But he just says screaming like banshees all the time, and he, like, laughs his head off about it. It's not that funny, but okay. And so, yeah, they basically admit to, like, trying to steal a body, but they chickened out and they didn't do it. And so, like, Ray Cameron's like, that's kind of weird. That's kind of weird because that body's supposed to be dead, you know? And so then, you know, it cuts to later and, you know, Chris and JC are just laying in their dorm doing all kinds of shit. And Cynthia turns up. Cynthia's all like, hey, you know, you guys want to go for a walk? And
hell yeah, I want to go for,
like,
a walk.
Shit.
I like walks.
So yeah, they go on a walk, and Cynthia's all like, I think it was a fucking zombie. And they're like, what the fuck, bitch?
They're like, what?
They're like, what the fuck, bitch? She's like, yeah, like, slugs came out of his head and shit.
I seen it.
And so JC was all like, I'm going to go use the bathroom. And it was so that his boy can get some alone time. And yeah, so, like, he's in the bathroom. And the fucking... So I forgot to mention, too, like, one of the bodies from the crime scene earlier, they had it in, like, the autopsy room, and it's got a slug in it. So it got up and started walking around. The cops didn't even see it leave. And that corpse comes in contact with the janitor, Miner. And a slug goes inside of his mouth. And so the janitor goes inside the bathroom where JC's taking a shit.
No! Oh, no!
And he falls down, and his head splits open, and the slugs come out. And so JC's like, what the fuck is that noise? And this is also the scene where you see Go Monster Squad and Striper Rules and all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Graffitied on the bathroom walls. So yeah, like, a slug ends up going inside JC's mouth, which is really sad because he's probably, besides Detective Cameron, he's probably the best character.
Yeah.
And so yeah, we don't see him anymore, except for one scene when Chris finds his dead body, which is really fucked. But JC also finds out that you can kill the slugs by lighting their asses on fire.
Purge them in holy flame.
So it's kind of like the thing, you kill them with fire.
Burn it with fire.
Yep. And so, yeah, like, Cynthia basically asks Chris to be her date to the formal. And Chris is like, fuck yeah, bro! And then, but what he didn't realize is, like, as soon as, like, Cynthia goes inside, Detective Cameron was following them everywhere, and he was all like, what's this talk about, you know, all this zombie and slug shit, you know? And so Detective Cameron takes Chris to his apartment, pours him a glass of whiskey, or scotch, I don't know what that shit was, and tells him the story of how Detective Cameron killed the nutcase that killed his girlfriend. He's like, yeah, you know, chopped her up, and I used my shotgun, and I blew his ass up, and I covered him in, like, plastic and buried him, and I buried him where your girlfriend's fucking fraternity house is. And so it snaps because, like I said, the flat top guy, he released all kinds of slugs. So that psychopath, he comes out from underneath the ground and kills the fucking the house mother or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He chops her head off and shit. Which is a really cool scene because you just see you see kind of a fake-ish looking head, and you just see an axe go through it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they get, like, the police get called and all that shit. Ray Cameron and all them come out there. Ray Cameron grabs his shotgun and fucking, he pulls his toolie out and fucking walks out the door.
Gives him the strap.
And so they corner, like, the psycho, and he, like, turns around, and they see it's a fucking zombie. And they're like, what the fuck? And the zombie looks at Ray Cameron and smiles, and Ray Cameron just blows his fucking head off.
Kaboom.
And so, yeah, that's when they're all like, oh, that's some weird shit. And so then we get, like, a montage of the boys and girls getting ready for the formal dance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, the boys are fooling around in the bathroom, spraying shaving cream all over each other, pouring beer all over each other. The girls are naked. You so,
yes.
You know, 80s shit, you know.
You know.
And, yeah, like, Chris, you know, he's putting on his suit. He looks in the mirror, and he sees JC's tape recorder with a note that says, listen. And he listens to it, and he's like, oh, you know, there's a slug inside of me. It's in my brain. It's laying eggs. I, you know, walked for the first time without my crutches. And then he tells him that, you know, you have to kill him with fire and shit. It's a really, like, emotional scene, really. I'm not doing it any justice, but... Yeah, and so he was like, yeah, I'm down here in the furnace room. And so Chris goes to the furnace room, and he sees JC's, like, dead body with, like, a whole bunch of burnt slugs. So
some sad shit,
JC
bro.
Died, unfortunately. And so Chris goes to Detective Cameron's apartment, and Detective Cameron is straight up trying to kill himself in the scene.
Yeah.
He's got his windows and his doors taped and his fucking stove turned all the way on, and he's about to fucking ignite his fucking lighter to blow the fucking place up.
He's like, I'm gonna kill myself.
I was like, well, that's fucking dark. And so Chris turns up and starts banging on his door, and, you know, he's all like, oh, they got JC, and, you know, so it shows him the tape and all that shit. And so they go to I don't know what it's called, the weapon place that cops have in their
armory.
Yeah, and it's Dick Miller. Dick Miller is up in there. He's like, oh, what can I get for you? And Tom Atkins is all like, give me a fucking flamethrower. And no, we're not fucking paying for it. He, like, sticks the shotgun at his face, too. So they take the flamethrower.
No, we're not fucking paying for it.
Well, he asks for, like, some kind of, like, registration form or something like that. And he's like, yeah, I don't have one. And he sticks the shotgun in his face.
Hell yeah.
And so then they go to the fraternity house where all the girls are, I should also mention, like, the house mother's dog gets infected by the slugs, and the bus that all of, like, the guys are on riding to the dance, they get in, like, a wreck, and the dog goes up in there and infects them all with slugs. And so this is literally kind of like a Night of the Living Dead scene where they're all just, like, walking, like, one of them has no face.
Yeah.
And one of them has no, like, legs, so he's just, like, crawling. It's pretty cool. I like it. Detective Cameron and Chris, they show up to the fraternity. Also, Brad got infected by the dog, too.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody fucking notices it. Like, he, like, shows up to the fraternity, and, like, the girls are all like, oh, you know, Cynthia, you know, your fucking ex-boyfriend's here. So she goes out there in her dress looking all cute and shit, and she sits down on the porch with him. She doesn't look at him. She doesn't see that his face is all fucked up. And he just starts spitting out slugs. And then Chris and Detective Cameron pull up, and they're like, move, bitch! And they light his ass. Like, Tom Atkins shoots his head, and, like, all these slugs go flying out, and then Chris lights his ass on fire with the flamethrower.
Hell yeah!
And Cynthia's like, what the fuck?! And so from there, it's just, like, Chris and, like, Cynthia and Tom Atkins killing all these, like, slugs and, like, infected people. And then they go in the basement where there's, like, brains and shit, because like some girl put like her science experiment down there, and like all these slugs were down there, just like it was like a whole nest of them and shit. And like Ray Cameron's like, oh, perfect, I could kill myself now. And so he starts like spreading gasoline everywhere. He turns on like the gas line and shit, so the gas is like going everywhere. He's like, just get everybody out of the house. I got this shit. So everybody gets out of the house and he blows the house up. So like all the slugs are dead, so we think. But then we see fucking Tom Atkins' charred body walking out. Oh. And the slug, and he like falls over and his head busts open and the slugs pour out and they go into the cemetery.
Oh shit.
But then we see the alien spaceship. So it seems like they were really trying to set up for a sequel because it performed poorly in the box office. That didn't work out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But also, like, once after the house explodes, you know, like, Cindy and Chris, like, they finally kiss and shit. It's kind of corny, but, you know, it is what it is. Yeah. I liked it. So, yeah, that's pretty much the movie.
Hell yeah, bitch.
Zach didn't really get to see it all, so I don't really know if he can really rank it.
I plan to finish it, though. So
yeah.
You can just skip me for ranking.
So, yeah, I give this fucking shit a 10. This is, like, one of my favorites. Even though, you know, it's not like it's not a perfect movie. I just really enjoy it. It's one of my favorites.
You know? Give it an 8.
Nice.
Tom Atkins saves this movie.
Tom Atkins. For me. Yeah, like if this movie didn't have Tom Atkins, like I feel like it'd still
like,
be pretty
it
cool.
It has one of my favorite lines of most of my favorite 80s movies. Good news, girls, your dates are here.
Yeah.
Bad news?
They're
dead.
That's like the slogan for this movie.
Yeah.
That's like the hook line.
And it's just so good. It's catchy. It sticks with you.
Yeah. Like, I really like this movie. Like, I watched it for the first time, like, right before the pandemic last year.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, I mean, and I've watched it, like, 5 times since because it's just that good to me. Mm. And, like, yeah, if Tom Atkins wasn't in this movie, like, it'd still be a fine movie. It just wouldn't have been as good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, but I kind of wish that they would have got sequels.
Fred Decker just did really bad with his movies in the theater.
Yeah.
Like, Monster Squad went up against the fucking Lost Boys.
Yeah.
How unfortunate do you have to be to release the same weekend as the Lost Boys?
Yeah, and then I think this went up against The Fly and...
Cronenberg's The Fly?
Yeah, and Jason Lives. From the 50s. Jason Lives, I believe, was in theaters around the time that this one
Yeah, this movie had no fucking chance.
It sucks.
No chance in hell.
It sucks because I think that with, you know, Fred Decker makes like B movies and shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they're kind of like tributes to like B movies from the 50s. It's like sci-fi horror and shit. And yeah, I mean, I think this movie does a really good job of, you know, having like a cool twist on like the zombie genre as well as like paying tribute to like Night of the Living Dead and all that shit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, like, yeah, I give it a 10. I like this one a lot, and hopefully this episode inspires more people to watch it because it needs more attention, to be honest.
It does.
Yeah. And
what I've seen so far, I like it.
Honestly, I don't really think that they should ever remake this one either.
Don't do it.
Because, like, I mean, you could argue that they could, and they could, like, give it the Stranger Things 80s nostalgia treatment, and it would be okay, but, like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like it's fine the way it is. And, yeah. So, yeah, what have you all been watching lately?
What We Do in the Shadows on Hulu.
That's a good fucking show.
Bro, I love that fucking show, bro.
Good fucking show.
It's so good. You should watch it.
Did you just start watching it?
Yeah, like 2 days ago. Yeah, I'm almost done with the first season.
That show's the fucking shit. I love that show.
I love that shit, dude.
I've been meaning to get around to watching them.
It's really good. I haven't seen the movie, but the show, it's
movie's
good
too. The movie's really good.
I like Nandor a lot, how he just doesn't give a fuck.
Nandor's my favorite. It's between Nandor and Laszlo.
Yelmo, what are you doing? He's like, what you told me to do, bro. He's like, okay.
I just like how
Laszlo, I like Laszlo too. He's just fucking cheeky bitch.
His name is Guillermo. And they call him fucking Gizmo.
Yeah.
Like, it's not
Nadia.
That funny.
Yeah.
But, like, when you hear it over and over again, it gets
And only Laszlo and his wife call him that.
Yeah.
Gizmo.
God damn it.
I just got, I think I, the last episode I watched was the trial where they, well, you know, you've seen the episode probably.
The trial.
It's after they go party with the Baron.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, and Guillermo kills that vampire on accident. He's like, it was an accident! It was an accident!
Holy shit, this episode's only like 43 minutes long.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Holy shit. Yeah, bro, you need to get on that. It's a good show,
it's
bro.
It's a really good fucking show.
See what else. I've been watching American Horror Story, the new season. It's not bad. There's vampires,
yeah,
bro.
Like, I've heard mixed things like, about it. Like, my parents were watching it the other day. It's got, like, Macaulay Culkin,
yeah,
which is pretty cool. And
I'm only on episode 3. I'm a little behind because I only watch it when Jenna comes over and she's been super busy.
You know Macaulay Culkin dates Brenda Song?
They're married and have a kid.
They're married?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And Murray. They have a child.
Good for him, man.
Murrid.
Brenda Song.
He's married to fucking London Tipton, bro.
Yeah.
Murrid.
Murrid.
Brenda Song seems like a really cool person. Yeah. So.
Hell yeah.
And he does too. I mean, like, I feel really bad for him because, you know, all the shit that he's kind of went through and
Macaulay
all that.
Macaulay Culkin,
you know.
He has his own podcast.
Yeah.
Called Bunny Ears.
He's the good one.
But no, like, people think he was on meth, but he never was. You know what that was, right?
Yeah, it was like a Photoshop of Willem Dafoe.
On
right?
him, yeah. People are like, oh my God, Macaulay,
but
you're on meth, bro.
He did have drug problems, right?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
He's a fucking child star. Most of those guys
yeah, and like,
have shitty lives.
I think like Hollywood blacklisted him for a
sure.
while or something like that. I don't really know why, but...
Because he was friends with Michael Jackson. I don't know.
I don't know. I think
I can't...
Like,
have you guys watched that documentary about Michael Jackson being like a pedophile?
No.
Finding Neverland or whatever it's called or Uncovering Neverland. Ugh. But no, like...
What a weird
people,
thing.
Dave Chappelle even has a joke about it. If, like, Michael Jackson was a pedophile and he was friends with Macaulay Culkin, why didn't he sexually abuse Macaulay Culkin? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, has there been any other, like, child stars that have, like, made that
No,
play?
They were, like, kids that Michael hung out with or something. But
well,
I don't
because,
know.
Like, I
don't know how I weigh in on the whole Michael Jackson being a pedophile.
Yeah,
thing.
Like, it's a touchy thing. And you know,
he could be one. He's dead. We'll never fucking know.
Yeah, like, there's so many different, like, good stories and takes on it, too. So there's just
but
no
yeah,
real
like,
telling.
Macaulay Culkin said Michael Jackson never did anything remotely sexual to him. While they were friends or whatever. And
but,
I
do know that Michael Jackson did let all kinds of, like, kids come over to his house a lot.
Well, yeah.
In the 80s and 90s and shit.
I don't know what Michael Jackson's thing was, but...
Yeah.
If he was a pedophile...
Which he said that he just let the kids come over to, like, hang out with his kids and, you know, play in their house because they had all kinds of cool shit.
He had a fucking, like, merry-go-round on his property
yeah,
and shit.
Like, his like house was basically a circus or some shit.
Yeah, he owned a monkey.
Yeah, so like, which I mean, like, if that
apparently
is the case,
he owned the elephant man's bones.
Yeah,
you know the elephant
cool.
man is.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Which I mean, like, if that's the case, then I you know, I guess that's cool. I mean, it still kind of makes him look a little weird because you know.
Well, yeah, it's weird either or. You know, it's yeah. a grown man hanging out with kids, but yeah, I don't fucking know.
Yeah, like, anyways. No, what I've been watching, like, I watched a couple of, like, the newest episodes of Dark Side of the Ring. Really good shit.
People are pissed at Ric Flair right now.
Yeah.
As they should be.
I can't necessarily blame him.
Woo! No!
Like, he got away with that shit for damn near 20 years.
Yeah.
And now he's finally getting the receipt for it.
The receipt for it.
He's getting his ass busted.
And he's on Twitter, too, saying that people are trying to, like, ruin his reputation and that all the
bro, you did this to yourself.
And shit. And,
did he, like, sexually assault somebody or something?
He, like, so there was a flight attendant on the plane ride from hell that's, like, this infamous story. And she's
that's
said,
on Hulu, right? Dark Side of the Ring?
Yeah, but the newer episodes that are coming out, you can't watch them. Yeah.
Well, the plane ride from hell is free on YouTube. The whole
yeah,
episode
yeah, you
is
can watch
free
it
on
YouTube. But anyways, like, the Ric Flair does his thing when he's, like, drunk. He does it. He claims he does it for the boys because it makes them pop. It's where he like
Zach's fucking face.
Strips. He strips
what
down.
The fuck.
He strips down and he like gets completely naked and puts on his Nature Boy robe and then he takes his robe off and spins his dick around like a helicopter, and all the boys pop for it for some fucking reason. But I guess
are they gay?
No, like they just think fuck? they just think it's funny or something like that. And
this is the era of WWF where like everybody's on fucking drugs, bro.
Yeah, yeah, like This is before the Chris Benoit tragedy and all the drug shit had to come to an end and all that shit. And but yeah, like the flight attendant claims that she like trapped him in some room and he was like naked and he kept trying to make her touch his penis and shit.
That's fucked up.
Yeah,
that's fucked up.
Which he says it's not true. And I know
fuck
that
you, Ric Flair.
I know that you know. The only people that really know is the people who saw it, but everybody was drunk, and everybody likes, like a lot of the wrestlers like Ric Flair, and they try to stand up for him and shit, like Tommy Dreamer, and yeah, so I don't know, like, it's a whole thing.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, Ric Flair is, like, 70 years old, he just needs
to... Is, what's his name? The old commentator. Does he say anything in that episode?
Old commentator?
The one that hit the guy with the tennis racket. When he tried to come for
Oh, Jim Cornette?
Yeah, is Jim Cornette in
no,
that
he's
episode?
No, he's not in that episode, I don't think.
He doesn't give any commentary?
He wasn't. I don't think he was in the WWE at that time.
Oh.
He was running OVW, I believe. Mm. Either that or he was in Ring of Honor. Because he's been in, like, every fucking promotion.
Yeah, he's done a lot.
Yeah.
Hell
and,
yeah.
But, yeah, like, the two most recent ones was about... One of them was about Chris Kanyon. He was basically a closeted homosexual who was, like, a wrestler... And he was afraid to come out because he was afraid that it was going to ruin his push and whatnot.
Yeah.
And so he just had all of, like, this boiled up rage and whatnot. And he eventually killed himself
oh,
and shit.
That's
this.
Sad.
So, yep. That is sad. But I forget who it was. Daniel Bryan and CM Punk had a match when they were both in WWE years ago. One of them shit their pants in the ring.
CM Punk.
It was CM Punk. Yeah. I'm really surprised no one's made
if
that
you,
a sign in AEW yet.
Don't
shit yourself, bro!
If you get slammed on your back hard enough and you haven't, like, taken a shit.
Well, no, that wasn't even the thing that happened. He had, like, food poisoning or something.
Oh, yeah, man.
Like, and he was wrestling.
Like, he could have just had straight up
and
diarrhea.
And Daniel Bryan did,
you know?
Like, a backbuster on him or something, and
he
shit himself.
Shitted.
Yeah, and, like, he literally, like, damn. CM Punk was, like, a sport about it. He went to Twitter, and he's like, hey, you know, if you go watch this episode, you'll see, like, I'm, like, kind of sprinting to the back. He's like, that's because I shit myself.
You can see it on the ring, too. It smears. It comes out of his shorts.
But yeah, like, the most recent episode was about FMW, which is, like, a deathmatch promotion in Japan. Terry Funk and Mick Foley and all them were part of it.
I didn't know Mick Foley and Terry Funk went to Japan.
Hayabusa got paralyzed. He, like, tried to do, like, some backflip off the rope, and he landed on his forehead.
Oof. Fuck.
And he...
His neck's gone.
He was paralyzed from his neck down.
Jesus Christ.
But, like... All these years later, he did end up being able to walk again, but he died.
It's honestly a fucking miracle Mick Foley's still alive and, like, able to move.
You know Britt Baker from AEW?
Yeah, Dr. Britt Baker.
She's a dentist. Yeah, she's like a real dentist, too. Like, when the pandemic, like, clears up, which it's practically cleared up now. But
we're getting there.
Mick Foley said that he's having her... fix his teeth.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because, you know, his teeth are all knocked out and shit.
Yeah.
He ain't got no front teeth.
No.
Well,
that's
but
cool.
Yeah, like, Terry Funk was on, like, the episode, and, like, for those of you who don't know, like, Terry Funk's, like, currently, like, living in, like, a nursing home because he's too old and busted up to take care of himself.
Probably got dementia from all the brain damage.
Brain damage.
And he was on that episode, and, man, he's one of the best.
Yeah,
because, like, he's talking about Atsushi Onita, which is the owner of FMW, and they're like, what would you have, like, say to him if you saw him today? And he just looks at the camera and flips. And they're like, any reason why? He's like, no, I love that motherfucker.
I love that motherfucker.
He's one of my favorites. Terry Funk's one of the best.
You know what would be really cool?
He's also in all kinds of, like, 80s action movies. Like,
is he really?
Like Roadhouse and Over
Roadhouse.
The Top.
Roadhouse.
Oh, yeah.
The Mick Foley should go to AEW and be a commentator.
Yeah. Like, I could see Mick Foley, like, making appearances at like, AEW shit, but I don't see him, like, being, like...
Well, I don't know if... But me and you have talked about it, but Zach, you know Mick Foley, right?
Mm-hmm.
Big, big, like, WWE person, personality.
I know who Mick
but
Foley
no, like,
is.
I'm trying... He promotes the brand a lot. Nah. He went on Facebook and made a video. He's like, if I was a young guy starting out, I would not look toward WWE at all. He's like,
yeah,
they're fucking, their brand is so
right
shit right now.
Yeah.
He pretty much said, fuck you to the WWE, and I'm really surprised if they don't cut ties
kind of
with
the place.
I mean, like, you know, somebody who's been doing it as long as he was, you know, you're loyal for so long. Because from what I heard, he was so dedicated
to being a wrestler.
The man
the WWE.
Fucking launched himself off like a 30. How high is the Hell in a Cell?
I think they
20
said,
feet?
I think they said it's like 25 feet.
Launched himself 25 feet off a fucking steel cage.
I mean,
smacked
like,
a commentator table.
Yeah, he went through that shit.
And returned to the match.
That commentator table actually saved his fucking life. Like, if he would have hit the floor, he probably would have died.
Yeah.
Or broke his back.
He did return to that match, right? The first one? Where he fell
off?
Yeah,
like, he climbed back up the cage after that. Undertaker...
Well, no, he was taken out. He was wheeled off on a stretcher.
Well, yeah, like, let me finish. So, Taker threw him off the cell. He landed through the commentary desk on the floor. He climbed back up it. Undertaker chokeslammed him through the Hell in the Cell, which wasn't supposed to happen.
Yeah.
So he went tumbling all the way down on the ring, which he actually said that bump hurt worse than the first one.
Yeah. Jesus
and
Christ.
And that bump also made his tooth go flying out through his nose. And then Undertaker hit him with the tombstone, and so then that's when the stretcher came out, and they got him halfway up the ramp, and he starts running back down again. And you know something else? That wasn't the main event. Like, in the main event, he came back down to fuck with Kane and Steve Austin.
Jesus Christ,
because this is when he was still a heel.
I would have loved to be fucking alive during
those. So he did a lot of shit that night. It was King of the Ring 98. Like, he did a lot of shit.
The point I'm trying to get to is, even whatever career profession you're in, if you're loyal to somebody or a company for so long, and you see that they start fucking up and being fuckheads and dickheads, I mean, like, it's no big surprise. That
start releasing everybody for seemingly no reason.
It's no big surprise that your loyalty goes out the window, you know? Like, it's... Yeah.
Plus, this AEW is, like, doing a really fucking good job. Like,
I'm doing really bad at trying to tune in.
They're
trying to follow AEW.
And not only that, but they're, like, scooping up, like, all these stars that WWE has released and making them, like, household names. And
like, didn't Aleister Black just debut over there?
Yeah, a couple months ago.
And I bet that shit isn't easy for him to say sometimes, because, like, the WWE, you know,
yeah, like
wrestling, that was, you know, that's his life.
Gave
you know?
His
like,
fucking body to it.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, they did really good with Mick Foley in the WWE. Like, surprisingly, because, like, a lot of guys in the Attitude Era, unless you were, like, Rock, Steve Austin, Triple H, and all that shit, Undertaker, Kane, like, you were kind of just background fodder.
Yeah.
You know?
I think what really helped Mankind was, this was kind of later
in his
career.
It was his bump
career.
Off the steel cage. That's,
that
that's
and
what propelled him.
Do you remember that? It was like a 2-year-long feud with The Rock.
Well, it was. He won the WWF Championship at the beginning of 99, and then The Rock was like, "I want that shit."
Yeah, and then him and Rock feuded for a long time.
Yeah, and then they had like
the
I Quit match.
Backstage brawl. Remember that?
They had like the I Quit match at the Royal Rumble where Rock did too many chair shots to the head and literally traumatized Mick Foley's family because they were sitting front row. Like, his kids were real little and they were crying and shit.
Yeah.
So, like, Mick Foley says that I still haven't really forgiven Rock for that shit.
Yeah.
Because that was fucked up.
It was. All right, I think that's going to do it for this episode.
All right. I didn't get to say what I watched.
Oh, wait. Yeah, what'd you watch?
Yeah, we got to stretch this shit out. It's only like 40-something minutes.
I watched Mike Flanagan's new show on Netflix, Midnight Mass.
I think I've heard of that.
Dude,
I don't.
It's pretty fucking good.
Mike Flanagan, what did he do?
He did Haunting of Hill House and Haunting
That's
of
right,
Bly
yeah.
Manor.
Yeah.
Like,
he's doing all the spooky house movies.
But, like, the show is so different from both of those. And, like, it's good.
You
I recommend
it's a documentary?
It's like a miniseries. It's like a 7-part miniseries on Netflix. It's pretty fucking good. It's called Midnight Mass.
Wow. Anything else?
Marvel's What If. And
I still need to get around to watching
I'm behind
that.
On that. I'm still on If Doctor Strange Had a Heart.
Like, honestly, like, I still I need to watch all the Disney Plus shows because...
I know, you still haven't seen WandaVision, bro.
Like, I've heard
That's
mixed
show,
things
dude.
About WandaVision and Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Like a lot of people like are saying like WandaVision's like first two episodes really good. But then the rest of it was kind of shit.
The whole series of WandaVision's good.
I think it gets better.
Like, Charlie Critical said that he didn't really like how it ended.
I think it gets better. I think Falcon Winter Soldier was pretty good.
But then again, like...
Loki was good.
Charlie's not, like, a huge
I haven't
fan
finished
of the
Loki.
MCU, so, like, I don't really think he has too much of a leg to stand on when it comes to that, so...
Bailey, have you watched Midnight Mass yet? Mike Flanagan's new show on Netflix?
No, I'm going to start it soon, though.
That's pretty fucking
good. I still
good.
Haven't finished Haunting of Hill House or started Bly Manor, but those aren't connected.
I finished Midnight Mass. And yeah. Dude, that show was really good.
Good. Midnight I know it's about Mass. Like a priest and shit.
It's really good.
Is it scary?
It's spooky.
It's got Midnight some, Ass.
It's got some like, Mike Flanagan is like one of those guys that when I watch like Haunting of Hill House and like Haunting of Bly Manor and this, there's always some point in the show that I go, oh, what the fuck?
And oh, that, what the fuck ever?
Not even that. Just like, oh, what the fuck was that? Or right. Like, what the fuck? Like, just freaking kinda out. Like, and that's what happened in the show, too.
It's like that time Riley had Rachel watch Haunting of Hill House and that scene with the car ghost.
Yeah.
He was asleep during that and he forgot to warn her and she fucking screamed and woke his ass up.
Like, it's like that kill from Brawl in Cell Block 99 where you just, like, jump straight up and you're like, ooh!
I fucking love that movie.
That shit was like,
it's crunchy.
It's fucking rough, dude.
Yeah, like I don't want to spoil like what the actual kill is for like those
y'all need
who
to
haven't
watch
seen
that.
It.
You'll know.
But, like,
you'll
such
know
a
when
good
you see
fucking
it.
Movie, dude.
You'll know when you see.
Oh,
it.
Underrated movie.
Yeah,
we should
that's
cover
Vince
that.
Vaughn's best movie.
We should cover
that,
bro.
The kills in Bone Tomahawk are pretty fucked too.
Yep.
Come get you some crunchy boy.
That's Vince Vaughn's best movie. I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah, probably.
Freaky's up there on my tier list.
Freaky's good too, but I don't think.
Oh no, Brawl in Cell Block 99.
Brawl in Cell Block 99 is like a masterpiece.
That's his best fucking movie.
Yep.
Who thought bald Vince Vaughn would look so good?
he acts his fucking ass off in that movie.
Yeah,
so
I also think he like. I think he admitted, to, like he said that he like legitimately trained how to fight for that role too.
Listen, I don't think Vince Vaughn didn't know how to fight before this movie. The man's like 6'8".
Yeah,
you got to know how to handle
a big
yourself.
Motherfucker. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but just because somebody's tall doesn't mean they know how to fight.
Listen, if when you're the biggest person in a room, people want to fuck with you.
It's true. Yeah. But nah, for tall people, all you got to do is fucking leg sweep their ass and wail on them.
Kick them in the kneecap.
Yeah, break. Make their kneecap go the opposite way. Then there you go.
All right,
you won.
Is that all you watched, buddy?
That's everything I watched. All right.
Anything else?
In the old words of Nick Christian, get your pet spayed or neutered. Dude, I've been thinking about that. It's like, I don't know, every time we end an episode, I think of like the old Slash and Cast live streams.
Get
and,
your pet
like,
spayed or neutered.
Yeah. That's how he closed it out.
Yeah, that's how Nick
time,
would sign
man.
Off.
I think about that all the time. I'm
trying to think what Riley's was.
He would always like just.
I guess it is kind of a good idea. Like if you have more than one dog and they're like opposite sexes, yeah, you might want to get them spayed and neutered.
Riley would just be like,
"They gonna be fucking
closing it out." He's like, "I love you, Nick. Got anything?" And Nick's always like, "Get your pet spayed or neutered."
That's from a movie. I don't remember what movie.
I couldn't tell you.
I've seen the movie recently, and I don't remember what it's from. Bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see how it plays out for him.
Yeah.
All right, that's going to do it for this episode of We Came From Beneath the Sea. If you liked it, check out the other wonderful shows on our network at slashandcast.net in the podcast network tab. If you'd like to join, same place. There's an application link at the top of that page.
Yeah.
I don't know what we're doing next week.
It's your pick next week, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, we could do something for Halloween, I guess.
Well, it is October, so you know what time it is. We got to do our Halloween favorites. Year two, baby.
Year two.
Spook.
Year
and if you weren't around for those, we basically, everyone picks a movie for the week, and we talk about why it's good for Halloween time.
Yeah.
Eventually, we're going to run out of, I mean, like, really, you could say.
Oh, we're going to run out movie. Of those motherfuckers, but.
Really, you could say any horror movie for Halloween time, because they all kind of.
Or
fit,
maybe
you know,
we'll skip that this year and do something else that's spooky time related.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We'll figure it out.
But yeah, coming soon also, year two of the Slashcast Halloween Virtual Convention.
Ooh.
We still got to nail down our topic. Don't know what we're doing yet, but we'll
no
do
idea.
Something. We got
we'll
something.
We'll carve pumpkins on camera and
pumpkins.
Pumpkin.
We'll send it to Ryan and be like, there you go, bitch.
There you go, bitch.
Well, I mean, honestly, we probably could do something like that.
I'm going to carve a dick.
Like
a pumpkin carving contest
yeah,
or
we'll
something.
Just carve pumpkins and then talk, and I think that would be a... That wouldn't be a bad thing.
I'm going to carve a penis.
Okay, penis and on that
pumpkin.
Note, Bailey isn't in that episode.
But now we'll nail something down, you know? But we love you. We'll see you next week. I don't know what the fuck we're going to do next week.
But we'll see you.
Have a good week, everybody. Bye.
Sayonara.
Bye-bye.